Blog Talk Radio.
To the Alaska Patriot Network. I'm Dahl Arntzen. I'm your host and broadcasting live from Alaska. We'll be joined here by Lori Ann, the host of the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show. You can find that right here on Blog Talk Radio, Sunday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific. I'll be there co-hosting, and we have a great show. A lot of constitutional discussion and current events and whatever else seems to be popping up. We've got a great show for you tonight. It's kind of a jam-packed schedule. So while Lori Ann and I get comfy in our chairs here and cue up the studio, enjoy this tune by Rain Johnson, Laid Back. We'll be right back with you. So go put a log in the fire and mix yourself a toddy and come back and join us. It's Friday night.
Doctor says my blood pressure's down, and it's been that way since you skipped town. And I know you thought you're leaving, make me feel like screaming, but baby, I ain't even stressing out. I bet you thought I'd be getting lonely, thought I'd be getting angry, but girl, I ain't even getting mad. 'Cause I've been getting laid back, baby, you should know that. I don't need your criticism, pessimism. I've been keeping it on the DL, got a girl that keeps it real, and it's on a need to know, and all you need to know, babe. Since you've been gone, I've been getting laid back. Used to have these headaches all day long, but it's disappeared since you've been gone. And that girl next door, she sees it, loves how I'm taking it easy, blows kisses at me while I'm on my lawn. Bet you thought I'd be getting lonely, thought I'd be getting angry, but I've been getting luckier than that. I've been getting laid back, baby, you should know that. I don't need your criticism, pessimism. I've been keeping it on a DL, got a girl that keeps it real, but that's not a need to know, and all you need to know, babe, since you've been gone, I've been getting laid back. I've been getting laid back, busy getting laid back. I've been getting laid back, baby, you should know that. I don't need your criticism, pessimism. I've been keeping it on the DL, got a girl that keeps it real, but that's all I need to know, and all you need to know, babe. Been gone. I've been getting laid back. Busy getting laid back. Keep getting lucky, getting laid back.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show. Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian Flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
Welcome back to the Alaska Patriot Network. This is Dahl. I am your host. We're joined here by Lori Ann, the host of the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show. You can find that here on Blog Talk Radio, Sunday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific. I'll be there too. I am so glad you all included, you know, listening to the show tonight. It's a long weekend for a lot of people. Everybody's kind of filled up with their food and probably had their fill of family too. A special shout out to our active duty members and our veterans. Thank you for your service. Your commitment and sacrifices make the freedom to broadcast possible, and I am so grateful for that. And I know Lori Ann is too, and it just warms my heart to think that there are people out there that love this country as much as I do, and they make those sacrifices. So thank you for your service. God bless you. And here we are, Friday night. We've got a packed show for you. Lots of stories going on out there and stuff. But tonight we're going to be talking a little bit about the election results from the Alaska elections. We finally got our election results. It only took about 3 weeks. That's what you get when, you know, you've got the ranked choice voting scenario. And, you know, I mean, when you consider the fact that there's only about 730,000 people in Alaska total, that's not the voter rolls, mind you. That's total population. I could have broke down the numbers from the voting rolls, but I wasn't prepared for that. But anyway, so you think about that, Lori Ann. I mean, there is that a whole, you know, count their elections by the end of the night with a population, a voting roll population of that. So, so we'll be talking about that. We've got some news stories that are uplifting and then some that are just straight up bizarre. Lori Ann, thank you for joining me.
Oh, yes, of course. It's always a pleasure to be on with you. And yes, happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Black Friday if you've been going out doing shopping and stuff. I have not. And I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. I'm sure they're on day number two of eating, you know, turkey everything, like turkey omelets, turkey sandwiches for lunch, turkey dinner, you know, or whatever. If you made ham, you're still eating leftovers, and you'll probably have the leftovers all weekend. Definitely.
Yeah, you know, I didn't cook this year, and my boys, we had a big storm blow through, so they didn't fly out to the island, and I have just been so blessed to have friends and family here that have invited me over, and I enjoyed a beautiful meal with great people. And the best part about both these dinners was, you know, it's a conservative safe space. So everybody just checks their feelings at the door and lets loose. There's no hurt feelings. Yeah.
We used to ridicule safe spaces, but now we need our own.
I know, right? Isn't that? I can't believe I said safe space. That's what happens when I listen to Woca-Cola. But anyways, though, and then I just got home from a lovely dinner at my neighbor's, and they had cooked dinner tonight. So it was a turkey both nights, and it was delicious. And fortunately, I don't have leftovers, so I don't have that dreaded, oh, look at all that turkey in the fridge, or look at all that ham, or, you know, or if you're really hurt and you know it's prime rib. No.
Yeah, right.
I'm being sarcastic.
Or you
can
get creative. What was it, 2018 for Thanksgiving, I went down to visit my aunt in California. And, you know, I made the drive down there and stuff. It was like 14 hours to get down there. But anyway, I got creative and I made a bison chuck roast. And
oh, yeah.
She absolutely loved it. She had never had that before. And, you know, made it, you know, potatoes, carrots, you know, the whole works. And then I made my famous pineapple coconut upside down cake, and she absolutely
Yummy.
Loved that too. And that's the last time I saw my aunt before she passed away, so at least you know, before
sorry.
She passed away, I have really good memory of, you know, being with her and visiting her. And I think that was the last time that I actually did all of the cooking. Yes, because it's just for me. It's too much for me to make a big production like that just for me, because my family is out
exactly.
of state and stuff. And yeah, so you know, so Thanksgiving to me usually is like pretty much any other day because of that. You know, but yet at least I still have some fond memories on Thanksgivings that were well. And having that time with my aunt is definitely cherished. And I got to know, you know, the funny thing is growing up with my aunt, she living in California, me growing up in Minnesota, I wasn't very close with her. We didn't see each other very often. It was very, you know, few and far between. Mostly when my grandparents were staying with her, in California during the winters, you know, they were snow bunnies in California staying with my aunt. And so about visiting my grandma, you know, or visiting my grandparents when I visited there versus spending time with her. And so, and just, you know, through the years and then visiting her for Thanksgiving, cause I didn't want her to be alone. And I had the opportunity. We had, number one, great weather, like really freakishly good weather for Thanksgiving to make the drive. You know, it was sunny and it was clear. You know, usually we have, you know, rain and clouds, and driving the stretch from I-5 in Oregon all the way down into California. She lives like, you know, she used to live about 2 hours outside of San Jose. And so making that drive was pretty scary, through the mountains and twisty curves and inclines and stuff. And it's always like foggy. There's a really, you know, there's a really scary stretch through there, put it that way. And so that year, we just had this freakishly good weather, and I said, you know what, I'm going to come down there, and I'm going to be there. I'm going to bring my bison roast that I haven't done, and I brought all the makings that I needed to make my pineapple coconut upside down cake and everything else, and so it worked out really well. And so that was the last Excellent. Thanksgiving that I had with family, and it turned out really, really well. So that's my story. I'll shut up now.
Well, I was going to lead off on the Alaskan election ranked choice voting stuff, but I think I'm going to go ahead and lead off on this bizarre story that I ran into right before we came on air. And it's a story about a woman who met a man online and had a long, like about a year-long relationship with him online, and went to see him in Peru only to have her organs harvested by him. Talk about a bad first date. Anyway, so a Mexican woman traveled to Peru to pursue a romantic relationship with a medical student she had met online, but her remains later washed up on a beach, and he has now been accused of harvesting her organs. Blanca Arialo, 51, told her family in late July that she was embarking on the 3,000-mile journey to Huacho to meet Juan Pablo Jesus Villafre. I think I said the last name, but it's irrelevant. Nobody wants to go out with him anyways. A medical student who she had a lengthy, long-term relationship with online. So on November 7th, this woman told her niece that she was going to fly to Peru and meet up with this guy, and she got there, but then stopped communicating with her family. And the niece that she had, told that she was going, the niece ended up putting up a social media post. And she said, I never thought I'd be in this situation, but today I'm asking for your support to spread this post to find one of the most loved and important people in my life. So this gal tweeted this on November 12th. She said, my Aunt Blanca, Olivia Arialo, disappeared on Monday, November 7th in Peru. We fear for her life. The niece said she became alarmed when she had reached out to her aunt. She could not contact her aunt and reached out to the online boyfriend, who claimed that Bianca was going back to Mexico after the couple had broke up. And the niece said she had decided to communicate with this guy since he was the only contact she had in that country. And, he was the last one, seen with her. I mean, they knew she was going to see this man. And the gal said that the guy claimed that, the guy broke it off. And she said he couldn't offer her the life she wanted, and she went home. And then on November 10th, Peruvian authorities discovered a severed finger with a silver ring attached washed up on a local beach. In the following days, a faceless head, an arm, a torso, with all the internal organs apparently intentionally removed, also washed ashore. So the devastated family matched the ring to their missing loved one, and a warrant was issued for the boyfriend, who was arrested on charges of human organs trafficking. It later emerged that shortly after Blanca's disappearance, the suspect had begun posting videos on TikTok, allegedly showing him dissecting body parts, including a pancreas and a brain. During a search of the boyfriend's home, police found evidence of blood in the bathroom, the laundry room, and on his mattress. The niece says she has no words to express, what she's experiencing. She says her aunt was a kind person, full of light, intelligent, dedicated, loving, and that is how she should be remembered. So the niece went on to say that they believe that the Peruvian laws will, and, you know, believe in the Peruvians to, you know, uphold the law and trust the authorities to make it happen as they've done an impeccable job so far. It's time to raise your voice and ask for justice. So, boy, Lorianne, that's just one of the creepiest things ever.
Yeah, I mean, this is like, it's like a, like human trafficking, you know, but instead of for sex, for harvesting organs.
Yeah.
And that is a thing.
Yeah.
You know, that is a thing.
And I know it is a thing, but it doesn't appear, it doesn't say anything that he sold the organs. Apparently he was dissecting them on TikTok. And there was a pancreas that he was on TikTok doing and a brain. And
it's really
going to find out later on that he two or something? I mean, or sold a couple organs, you know, the ones that he could sell, he sold. And so this is actually a story I'm going to watch. And I found this one in the New York Post. And once I started looking into the story, because I was like, oh, this is some kind of clickbait crap. But it was actually up on some other lamestream sites too. So
yeah,
the Alaska Patriot Network story
came from the Independent, from what it looks like. You know, the Independent tries to be independent. It's a legit source. So yeah, you know, just because the New York Post is reporting on it doesn't mean it's garbage. Because they're just getting it from someplace
else.
Yeah, you know, I'm just saying that for the listeners out there.
A lot of people are like,
oh, it's New York Post, it's garbage. You know, they equate New York Post with, you know, being like Babylon Bee or something, and it's just kind of ridiculous. But, you know, this is really creepy, and I think that there's probably a lot more of this that goes on than we really even realize. I'm glad that you brought this story up because, you know, I think, and I've said this before, it would be really interesting to know whether or not this woman was vaccinated for COVID or not, if she'd gotten the jab or not. And the reason why I say that is because if she was pure blood, then I wonder if she was targeted because of it. It would not surprise me. I'm not saying that I think that this is what happened, but I'm curious to find out because I think that we might actually start seeing more stories like this and a reluctance of the media to tie it to a demand for illegal organ harvesting of people that haven't gotten a jab. I think that my fears are justified because I think we're, you know, as more time goes on and more information comes out, more things that we're seeing with people that have gotten jabbed multiple times, things like that, and these, you know, health issues and weird anomalies and things. I think that those of us that have stood our ground and haven't gotten the jab, which is only about 20% of us in the United States, we could very well be targets to get our organs, to get our eggs, you know, if you're a woman, harvest eggs and things like that, and be worth even more money. And given that this was a medical student, you know, a medical student, you will usually fall under the radar. They don't have their license. They're not under the same kind of scrutiny as a fully practicing physician is. And so I could really see medical students getting roped into these organ harvesting traffickers that really is a thing. They have been for a long time, but, you know, I think we might see more of it.
You know, they say that organ trafficking is like the $1.7 billion global business. And it would, I don't know if it would surprise some people knowing what we know, Lorianne, you know, being awake and all. I don't know that people would realize that United States is number 3 out of 10 of the top 10 organ trafficking. We're not talking organ donors. We're not talking about deceased. We're talking about, well, some of the people are newly deceased and their organs are stolen. But yes, yeah, so the top 10, well, some of them are China's one, India's two, United States is number three, Brazil, Israel, Pakistan, Colombia, and Egypt. And then and most countries forbid the sale and purchase of organs, you know, with the exception of Iran. It is the only place in the world where citizens are allowed to buy and sell their organs legally. So I find it really, really disturbing that United States is like in the top 10 and right at the top of the list. Not surprised with this nefarious, dark place that we don't, you know, not only is the United States seem to be in right now, but globally we have this dark, looming evil, you know, pervading all parts of our lives. And it's stuff, it's tangible stuff, it's things we can see, it's, you know, bleeding us dry through inflation and disparities and tyranny and lockdowns and, you know, all of that. But, you know, you did raise a good point, and it's, it is kind of disturbing to think that there would be a more tangible market. And I told a lot of people this when they were running out and getting the jab. I said, you know, what makes you think that they want you to get better? Maybe they want to take out all the sheeple first. And they'll say, let's take out the dumbest and the most gullible, you know. And I know some people were coerced into it. And, you know, I'm not, and some people had it and said, oh, what have I done? You know, and people, and I'm not putting people down, because I'm not saying that you were gullible or you're stupid. I'm just saying it was an unfortunate.
That's what the globalists
life.
Might think, though. You know, the power
yes,
elite, that, the Klaus Schwab, the Bill
exactly.
Gates, the, you know, those people, they look at, you know, they look at us as just little peons, all of us. But
yeah, we're
I
just
like your point where it's like, get rid of the ones that fall for it the easiest, you know, and then you're left with the stronger minds and stuff. And then what do they want to do with us? You know, I can imagine a lot of psychological experimentation going on to figure out, you know, what makes us different. How did 20% of us here in America resist all of the pressure and coercion and manipulation and not to get jabbed? You know, that's probably a real viable question that these global elites really want to understand, because once they understand that, then they can start learning how to break even us. How much further do they have to go? What else do they have to do to break even the most resilient among us?
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, these are the very same people, you know, that are saying getting these jabs that have this abortion agenda, you know. And you're looking at, out of, you know, globally, about 220 million women will get pregnant each year. And roughly two-thirds of them are going to deliver a live infant. And the remaining one-third of the pregnancies will end up in, you know, miscarriage or stillbirth or, you know, induced abortion. And I do believe that, you know, with the jab, part of their depopulation agenda, look at how many stillbirths we saw. We continue to see. And other deaths with that. But, you know, you're looking at millions and, you know, an estimate of 56 million abortions in a year worldwide. For 56 million, and that's conservative numbers. And then, you know, that's part of their depopulation agenda. And then you add the jab to it. And you add the GMOs and the chemicals and all the other crap that they're in, you know, sneaking into everything. Fertility rate in men has dropped by 40% in the last 40 years. 40%. Add the jab to that, and I bet you that there's a further reduction in fertility for those parties that had that jab.
And you know what? If you remember, way back in our early days on radio, when COVID was first coming around, the jab was first coming out, and we were seeing the first initial reports of menstrual changes in women after getting the jab, the spike increase of miscarriages, things like that. We were predicting this stuff, remember? That we are seeing exactly what we predicted 2 years ago. You know, this is what's happening. It is affecting. So, you know, the sperm counts go down, and then even the viable sperm that's left over, should it fertilize the egg, there's a higher increase in it being miscarried. And if it isn't miscarried, being premature and having all kinds of problems. The after effects are starting to show itself already. And we were considered absolutely apeshit crazy for suggesting that this jab might be possibly actually developed in order to fulfill this depopulation agenda. And now here we are. The evidence is showing up more and more and more, the results of it, and it sure seems, you know, pretty much along the line of what we predicted a couple of years ago when these jabs are first being rolled out and first being mandatory for employment and everything else and travel and stuff like that.
Yeah, and, you know, It's like you bring up, you know, we were talking about this, and I remembered the lead up to these conversations a couple years ago, and I was like, okay, well, you know, this kind of a disclaimer, but we think this is what's going on. And I know it sounds crazy, and I know there was a lot of that a couple years ago. Okay, I know this is going to sound crazy, but you know, at the time it sounded like, you know, and we were reaching and grabbing for whatever information we could find, you know, collectively. You were doing a lot of research. I was doing a lot of research. We were actually working with other people in radio. Everybody was doing a lot of research, collectively, you know, putting that information together and sharing it out there, because I felt it was important that people be informed. And, you know, now it's not a conspiracy theory. It's just a spoiler alert.
Exactly. We weren't so wrong. And now it's like we don't even have to do a disclaimer anymore, because most of the time, you know, the quote-unquote conspiracy theory that we come up with initially ends up being true, you know. Or being pretty close to what's true. You know, like, we're not that far off. And so, you know, now we have, you know, more money going into continuing this pandemic emergency. And Biden, of course, wants to extend it. Why? Because they want to get, you know, Pfizer as a fresh new batch, a new version to combat the variants. Super safe and effective, everybody. Yeah. You know, and
well,
so they
want
to do like this last, you know, this last surge of profits before, I mean, they know that this whole thing is going to blow up in their face eventually. They've been suppressing it as long as they can. And they're going to try to get as much profits out of it as possible. So that's what's going on. And I do believe that, you know, when we talk about depopulation agenda, that isn't conspiracy theory either. That's been talked about. It's come straight out of Bill Gates' mouth, saying that in the one sentence, in the same speech, within, you know, within like a minute of each other. 1 minute, he's like, yeah, you know, we need to develop vaccines. And then the next minute, he's talking about depopulation agenda. Within like the same paragraph of a speech, you know, and it's like, it's not hard to put the two and two together. That's the agenda. They're using vaccines to do it. They've done it multiple times, but it just, we haven't seen it on such a global scale. That's the only difference.
Well, you know, what was seemed to be really effective during the scamdemic was the imagery that the media was giving everybody, that there's people on ventilators in the parking lot and army tents, and you know, the hospitals are clogged, and it's just mayhem, and there's, you know, healthcare workers collapsing from exhaustion. And I'm sure there were some places that were pretty busy and stuff, but for the most part, when people would go to the hospital, and we saw a lot of footage, incredible video footage of empty hospitals. And mind you, all these nurses had times to do all these, you know, choreographed fancy skits and dances as on TikTok, but, oh, we're dropping dead from exhaustion. Come on, folks, wake up. Wake up.
No, exactly. And a lot of those outdoor tents outside
overrun.
The hospital wasn't because they were so full. It was because of all the social distancing. So they literally couldn't bring in as many people inside as they normally would be able to, because everything had to be so distanced and stuff. And then number two, they were even getting sick. And so these tents outside were really like a quarantine. You know, if you were sick with COVID, mm-hmm. then you were stuck outside under these tents. But if you had something else, then you could come inside the hospital.
But for the most part, I really believe, Lorianne, that the tents were optics. It was part of their psyops. We have to make it appear.
Absolutely.
Remember, they brought in the Navy hospitals. They brought the military hospitals. Nobody went there. Nobody. The one in Seattle at the ball field or at the, stadium. Nada. And so now here we are, scamdemic's fading. People are like, yeah, screw you, Pfizer. I'm not going to be part of your advent calendar. You know, did I send you that meme?
I'm not sure.
But anyways, I will send you that meme. But anyways, though, oh, where was I? Oh, so now we're reading in the media that RSV is running over the hospitals, and there are children clogging up the intensive care units. You know, people are dropping dead everywhere. And, you know, it's not a new thing. It's been around forever. And, it's a respiratory infection. A lot of people know what it is. And usually, you know, it's something that young children get. I'm a mom. My kids got it.
And, you know, here's the weird thing. I have never heard of RSV until recently. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Oh, really? Well, let's
now all of a sudden recently there's like an epidemic
children.
Of it. And it's like, what? Yeah, I don't have children, so that probably explains why I've never really even heard of it. But now it's like, oh, it's the next epidemic level stuff now. And I'm like, what is
all
this?
Right.
I've never, you know, it's never been a thing.
So, you know, they're chalking it up. They got babies struggling to breathe, filling hospital beds across the United States. But Lorianne, there's light ahead. There's light ahead. Because the same people, the same team, the same National Institute of Health team that helped develop the COVID a jab, are getting ready to release a new vaccination. Anyways, so Pfizer and GlaxoSmithKline and a couple others are doing it, but it's really interesting because this vaccine, it was announced early fall that this is going to be, it's going to be available soon. And now, mind you, you know, we are in the RSV season, we're in the flu season. Isn't it great timing? So the same investigators who developed the first COVID-19 vaccines did this one too. And this is how they did this. I don't know. It kind of gave me the heebie-jeebies reading it. They isolated the structure of the virus's F protein, the site that lets it dock onto human cells, like a ship, like a spaceship. Normally, the F protein flips back and forth, changing shapes after it attaches to a cell. But the researchers figured out how to freeze the protein into shape it takes before it fuses with the cell. This protein then locks into place, allowing the immune system to recognize the virus in the form it's in when it enters the first body and develops strong antibodies against it. So this is a protein, much like the jab's made out of, with a side order of probably graphene oxide and some other crap. But this will be given, this is the first vaccine up for review will be given to adults, seniors, and pregnant women.
Of course.
And they believe that the vaccination in pregnancy is meant to ultimately protect newborns. So this is really, really interesting because I'm curious, do they have a separate study for the jabbed opposed to the unjabbed? I mean, do these, after you've been genetically modified from the jab, are you more prone to this working for you? Or if you're unjabbed, will it not work for you and have an adverse effect? I mean, I'm not going to tell people to do one thing or another.
I doubt it. Are they even doing any studies on the safety for pregnant women? I mean, they didn't even do any studies for their COVID jab on pregnant women when they were encouraging pregnant women to get it. So with this RSV vaccine and targeting pregnant women to get it, supposedly to protect the fetus or the newborn baby once it's born, whatever, but have they even done any studies on pregnant women to be able to even recommend it? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, more than 10 prisoners or, you know, people in the Congo or, I mean, I don't trust these people.
More than 8 mice would be nice. I mean, you know, that's all it took to, you know, approve the next newest, latest and greatest Pfizer COVID shot. It only took 8 mice. Oh, the 8 mice didn't die. Stamp of approval.
Yeah. Well, it looks like we got a Florida caller online, Lorianne. Let's see who this is in the queue. Let's bring them on. They've been holding for a bit while we were going on here.
Hello.
So, caller, you're on air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I wanted to jump in and say about the vaccine shots. I haven't heard of a lot of these diseases like Bell's palsy until the last couple of years. I've been hearing more and more about people getting Bell's palsy, and not just on the news or on TV or something, within my circle of friends. I have one of those friends that believes that straight up liberal. I don't know what happened. Obama becomes president. He's a minority, by the way. He used to believe in a lot of things that I believe, like at one time we both believed 9/11 was an inside job. We both didn't believe that there was a division between the Republicans and the Democrats. He was basically the same way as me. Obama becomes president, and out of nowhere, this guy believes in the government completely. So when COVID happened, he called me up. I was following the whole COVID. At the time, they called it coronavirus in China, where people were standing in line, falling down, and doing seizures. And
yeah.
I thought it was just happening in China. He calls me up one day and says, hey, you got to go to this Walmart and buy as much toilet paper as possible. I'm like, why? They're going to lock down. They're going to lock down? What? But why buy toilet paper, though? And he's like, yeah, everyone's going to buy toilet paper. And I remember from listening to Alex Jones, one of the first things that Alex Jones said that was when there's a lockdown, the first thing that's going to be taken out is toilet paper. And it just came to reality. I'm like, oh, my God, this really is happening. How dumb are these people? And anyway, over time, I stopped talking to him, but as soon as the vaccine came out, he got it right away. And he got his mom to get it. And now, 2 years later, one of his eyes, I think it's his left eye, falls down while his right eye blinks once in a while and is raised up. So his eyes are not leveled, and he's telling me that his doctor says that he has Bell's palsy, and his doctor says it's a normal thing. I've never heard of it until recently, and he's just one of them. His mom also got the vaccine as well, and she fell down the stairs not too long ago, maybe like 6 months or 4 months ago or something like that, because out of nowhere she couldn't breathe. So she's been getting booster shots. She's been every time, you know, she gets a vaccine, they say a variant came out. So she gets another two shots or something like that. And they still get COVID. I mean, he got COVID like two or three times already. I mean, if you get these shots, aren't you supposed to stop getting COVID? I didn't get the shot, and I got the flu only. I'm pretty sure I got the flu. I don't know if I got COVID. I still had my taste, but I'm around people a lot. His mom got COVID twice. He's got COVID three times. These shots are not fucking working. I'm sorry. They're not working. And it's just too coincidental that out of nowhere, they've been talking about this whole New World Order stuff. New World Order. I'm sorry. I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent, but I have to say this, please. They've been talking about the New World Order for a long time. And what the New World Order is, it's uniting all the countries on the planet under one rule. And I never thought that was going to happen. I heard like clips of politicians saying, we're going to build the New World Order, New World Order. And I,
Bush
you know,
Senior,
whatever.
Yep, but all the way back in Bush Senior days, yep.
Obama.
When he was vice president, not even president yet, he was vice president under Reagan, and he was talking about New World Order.
Yeah, Obama has
said
it.
That's what got Kennedy killed, was he was going to expose them.
Yeah, Obama,
Clinton has said it.
You hear it often. So basically, the New World Order is a unification of all the countries on the planet under one rule. And I never thought that was going to happen until COVID happened. What ended up happening? We were all locked down. Not just the United States, almost every country, locked down the people within their houses, didn't let them out. But here in the United States, it wasn't as bad in most of the country, but they locked down all the businesses. So basically, we were to go out, we wouldn't go anywhere anyways because there's nowhere to go. But we were basically told to lock down in our house. This was a, what is it called when the whole planet, is it universal, international thing?
Yeah, universal.
It was a New World Order rule. Finally, it came out. And now this whole vaccine thing is being pushed. And it's just, New World Order is what I'm trying to say here. It's not a conspiracy. It's a fact now. It's a fact. It's already here. Now we're following the steps of what they're trying to accomplish next. And the next step is the Great Reset, where we're seeing that in the process right now, where they're trying to make everyone poor. Who listens to the government the most? Those that need the government. And who are those that need the government? Those that are poor, that are on social services or on welfare of some kind, where they need the government to support them. these people listen to the government as if the government is their God. And that's what they're trying to do now. They're trying to make everyone as poor as possible so that these people can rely on the government. And once that is in place, then these people become cheap labor to them, a.k.a. slaves. And that's just my 2 cents on the whole matter. I know I was rambling, but I needed to let that out. Thank you. Thank you for letting me talk.
You're welcome.
I don't think either one of us disagree on anything that you just said.
No, yeah. We both agree wholeheartedly, yes.
Yeah. My name, you can
we
call
sure
me Finch, by the way. Yeah, thank you.
What was that?
Thank you for letting me on. My name is Finch.
Oh, no, thanks for... Thanks. Okay, well, thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Yeah, think for yourself. It's think for yourself. That was his, I saw him log in the chat. So think.
Oh,
think.
Okay, good.
So caller, thank you for calling in. And if anybody else would like to hop in on the conversation, you know, if you'd like to go back to a topic we already discussed or, you know, you didn't miss anything, we're always happy to, you know, go off topic or, you know, segue back to a topic. So if there was something earlier in the show you'd like to comment on, please feel free to, you know, call in and join us. The number here is 515-602-972. Press number 1 to raise your hand in the queue. And it's just, it's really great to have people interact with the show and join in like this. And, you know, it's what makes talk radio fun. And I love to hear people's
perspective. Yeah, I hope that caller,
perspective.
You know, calls in regularly on our Friday night show and, you know, maybe even into my show. Yeah. I'd welcome them back on for sure.
Exactly. So, you know, all right, so back to this vaccine stuff. Now, Biden, his fraudulency, Biden, signed an executive order, and I've talked about this, extensively on this show. But it was back in September, and it was Executive Order 14081, and it's Advancing Biotechnology and Biomanufacturing Innovation for a Sustainable, Safe, and Secure American Bioeconomy. Now, it's in this order, and I really, it's Executive Order 14081, and you can look that up easily. It's really long, and we won't be covering it all, but it does discuss biotechnology in essence, a movement towards transhumanism, and how his administration is going to do everything in its power, including executing this executive order, to ensure that this agenda is met at all costs. And at all costs, that means at all costs to you and your loved ones. And in this executive order, they specifically talk about fast-tracking these vaccines and this invasive biotechnology that is used medically. They call it medically. I call it digital enhancement, transhumanism, wrong. Curious because like 2 weeks after this executive order came out, they announced these RSV vaccines. And I'm hesitant even to call them vaccines, but just for simplicity, folks, I call it
that. Yeah, now
that
they
air.
Changed the definition of what a vaccine is.
Exactly. So usually,
is this a
vaccine like
in the traditional definition or the new definition?
Yeah, and I like to reserve the term the jab for the scamdemic poke because that's just kind of specific there, you know. But they're rolling this stuff out, and you know they do try this out though, before, and they try it out extensively in third world countries. We know that Bill Gates' foundation, Gavi, is over in the Congo and different parts of Africa, testing these on people without their informed consent. I am not confident, Lorianne, that these people know what they're getting into. They just see,
fancy
medical.
That's what they bank on. Here, we're here to help you. You know,
we're here to help you.
You're all just an experiment. What country in Africa is it that's actually like banned Bill Gates from even stepping foot in it? I think, isn't it like Nigeria or something?
Oh, India.
I know there's
India,
an African
he got
country
in a bunch
too, because,
of trouble.
And,
good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them. Yeah, and I'm not saying these people I don't have the, you know, capacity to understand consent or what's going on. I just don't trust these entities to be giving them the truth, because they most certainly didn't give us the truth. Why would they, you know, give these other people the benefit of the truth? I don't even think they know what the truth is. And, you know, whenever you have any kind of medical technology that gets doctors fired for talking about it, for standing up and saying, you know, I've taken an oath to do first no harm, and I don't find that this is in humanity's interest. Boom, lose their job. Boom, discredited. Boom, lose their, you know, social media accounts or their email, their, you know, everything. And if they're monetizing on any platform, boom, PayPal's going to kick them off. Bank of America, Chase, you name it. They're not going to want to do business with their practice anymore, because that's where it's getting. They're backing people into the wall. They're backing medical professionals and personnel into the wall, into silence. And it's scary, Lorianne. It just really sucks. And it really, it's disheartening to see people that, like this gentleman that called in, you know, the Bell's palsy thing. I mean, these people, some of them, you know, like I said, the doctors said, come and take the shot. And they're like, oh, okay, I just always do what everybody tells me to do. And they go get shot. And some of them regretted it. And some of them didn't live to regret it. And, you know, we're seeing record numbers of myocarditis and, you know, like we're talking about stillbirths and all kinds of crazy stuff. So, you know, folks, do what you want with your body. But by all means, you know, I really, really, really encourage everybody to do their homework first. And find out all the information.
Yeah,
and sadly,
I think one thing that we learned is that the very people that we have trusted the most, which is our physicians, well, when the physicians are misled, when the physicians are coerced, when the physicians are bribed, when the physicians have to rely on their continuing education credits that are put on by big pharma companies like Pfizer, you have to start not trusting your own physician, because your own physician has been misled or spurned, and all that too. And then, you know, and you know, I'm going to bring up Died Suddenly. For those of you out there that haven't watched it yet, go to Rumble or to BitChute, look up Died Suddenly, Stu Peters Network, and watch it. It's 1 hour, 8 minutes long. And you can see that even morticians, medical examiners, funeral directors are seeing a lot of really strange stuff in people that have died, stuff they've never seen before. These are people that have been practicing doing that job for 20 years or 30 years, and they've never seen anything like it coming out of the blood when they're embalming and the stuff that they're pulling out of the veins. you know, it's absolutely mind-blowing. And that's just one facet. And yet even they have to speak a lot. Some of the people in that documentary speak anonymously, you know, with the blacked out, you know, face and stuff and the voice distortion, because they're afraid of, you know, not being able to practice anymore, losing their livelihood by speaking out about what they're seeing. And they're talking about how they are so discouraged, almost forced not to speak out about what they're actually seeing. And so that's happened with doctors and nurses and physicians, and it's also happening with the medical examiners and the funeral directors and stuff. So it's a mass agenda to suppress the truth from coming out, but it is going to come out. But of course, you know, it immediately, people that posted the link to the video, like on Facebook, it almost immediately started getting fact-checked. You know, there's no evidence that says that. This is false information. Your page is at risk. Blah, blah, blah. You know, like all that starts happening.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Second, you know, you post the link to the video. So if you're out there and you're listening and you haven't watched it yet, watch Died Suddenly. And it'll really kind of open up your eyes to, you know, what is going on here. And they're trying to explain it all away with COVID itself. So that's the new agenda, is all of these things that are happening, the myocarditises, the miscarriages, the strokes, the heart attacks, the neurological disorders, and the increase in cancer. We can't forget that. Cancer is spiking all over the place. And they are going to point all of it to the COVID itself. They will not allow anyone to actually tie it to the COVID clot shot. And so this list of symptoms for COVID has just grown and grown and grown and grown to be like this mile-long list of symptoms of COVID. And but the thing is half of those symptoms that are listed did not exist until the COVID clot shot came along. And now all of a sudden it's just, this list is like grown at least two times as long. It's like almost everything under the sun. And it really sounds like AIDS, you know, it really does. It's and I said it even 2 years ago, I think that this vaccine is developed, COVID plus the vaccine together were developed specifically to create a new autoimmune deficiency disorder. AIDS wasn't prevalent enough. It didn't take hold enough. It wasn't spreadable easily enough. And so this is the perfect solution for that, wouldn't you think? You know, this COVID plus the X percent of people, and then creating autoimmune disorders. And then here's this list of all of these symptoms and all of them. When you look at the COVID itself symptoms, which I know most of them are incorporated or enveloped the reactions to the shot, all of it equates to a new higher level autoimmune disorder.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know what, Lorianne? Speaking of jabs, you know, it is Black Friday, and I have been wanting a very special little toy really bad, and you know it's that time of year for Vaccinate Me Elmo.
I was wondering if you were going to play that tonight.
Yes.
Think of Vaccinate Me Elmo break, shall we?
Yeah, actually, folks, we're going to segue off into another topic. And I got to put, you know, if you're looking for that gift for that special loved one, or you just want to freak out some kid and never have him come back to your house, you got to get him this toy. But I don't think this toy is real. I think it's fictional. But anyways, so we are going to be right back. And the guest call-in number, once again, is 515-602-9722. be sure to press number one. We'll see you here in the studio software, and we'll bring you on to the show. Excuse me. And so we're going to segue off into a new topic. We're going to play this short clip and take a quick, and we'll be right back. So it's Friday night. Go mix yourself a drink, put another log in the fire, and enjoy.
Hey there. Are you hesitant to get the vaccine?
Yeah.
Then get the brand new government-approved Vaccinate Me Elmo doll.
Wow! Elmo loves experimental vaccines!
With the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll, your kid will finally feel the pressure and shame we've successfully made you feel to get the COVID vaccine.
Quick! Give me the vaccine! Elmo don't want to be responsible for the deaths of friends or family! Thanks! Ha! Now Elmo's a good person!
The Vaccinate Me Elmo doll comes with a toy syringe, a stethoscope.
Elmo, your heart is beating fast. Are you having complications?
Of course not!
And a tiny vial of something. It's not the vaccine, promise. It's, water. Let your kid drink it.
Elmo, can't you take your mask off now?
No! Gotta keep that mask on forever!
That feels like mixed messaging.
With the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll, your child will be begging you to get the vaccine. Just scared out of their little mind for the fate of the world or your money back.
It's your turn. Time to get the vaccine.
You want to.
Sorry, you have to.
No.
Do it.
No.
You have no choice.
No.
Now. Now. Or else.
Or else what?
Last chance.
And for all you anti-science conspiracy believing parents, buy the re-released classic Tickle Me Elmo. It's perfectly normal.
Now this is fun.
Get the vaccine or die.
Buy the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll today. It's required by the CDC.
Well, I could tell you about him cheating and how I stood there while she was screaming out his name beneath my Egyptian cotton sheets. I could tell you how she's much younger and how she lies and tells him he's a good lover. Now that dolphin on her back looks more like a manatee. Oh, I'd be happy to share all the gory.
But that's another bottle of wine. Oh, that's another bottle of wine.
And we are back. Thank you for joining us tonight. This is the Alaska Patriot Network. And I wanted to give out a special shout-out to a local business tonight. And it is Islander Deer Calls and Creations. And you can find them on Facebook. They make these epic deer calls. And if you're a hunter, or even if you just like to look at wildlife, you know, you can call in all kinds of critters with these calls. They have pine ball calls. They have Devil's Club calls. They've got calls made out of bullet shells. They've got all these cool calls. So check them out on Facebook. It's Islander Deer Calls and Creations. They are really quick to reply to your DMs. They make a exceptional product. It's all handcrafted, locally sourced from Alaska. It's a family-owned business. They put a lot of themselves into this. So I just wanted to give them a shout-out tonight because I'm going to go out and beg a big buck with one of their calls here tomorrow or the next day. But, yeah. So, folks, check them out on Facebook, would you? And, well, we have a couple things that we were going to discuss, and one of them was the outcome of the elections here in Alaska. And if any of you followed it, we've implemented the ranked choice voting here in Alaska, and it's an interesting way of voting. I like to call it like a pyramid scheme. It's, you know, instead of going to the ballot box and picking one, you know, you do your homework, you got somebody, you know, that reflects your values, and you pick that one person. Well, not with this. You get to pick like four people, you know, and how it works is if a candidate receives 50% of the vote, then they automatically win the pyramid scheme. If they do not meet that number, then they start this process of elimination of votes. And what it ends up to being is say, Lisa Murkowski, people voted for Lisa Murkowski first and voted for, you know, the next guy, Ed Begich next. And then Chesbro, the Democrat, third, and then the other Republican, Kelly Chewbacca, fourth, or picked Kelly Chewbacca first, Murkowski, you know. So what would happen is, say, people would vote for Kelly Chewbacca first and Murkowski second because they're both Republicans. So now we got two Republicans pitting against each other. We got a Rhino and then a Patriot. And Kelly Chewbacca ran a really, really, really good campaign. I mean, a solid campaign. A unique campaign based on values and door knocking. She hadn't been in the political arena before, so she was, you know, unknown. She was a Trump-endorsed candidate. Lisa Murkowski, on the other hand, you know, been in politics for 40 years. She got her seat, you know, through an act of nepotism. Her dad gave it to her. You know, he was a senator. He became governor, and he glad-handed it right to his daughter. And then Alaskans, myself included, voted her in again. You know, but these last two terms, well, this last term of hers, she has just gone full-on Rhino. I mean, we're talking, she's a Democrat, actually, socialist, Marxist agenda. She voted to impeach Trump after he wasn't even in office anymore. I mean, what kind of sane person even does that, regardless of party? I mean, he wasn't even president anymore. You're going to spend a bunch of millions of dollars and the taxpayers' money, I mean, and just to, you know, facilitate illegitimate administration we have? So what happened was, for example, Murkowski and Chewbacca were head-to-head. And in fact, Chewbacca was ahead of the count until they started counting the absentee ballots and the late ballots and the out-of-state ballots, you know, and all of these things. Because Alaska will allow you to live somewhere else and vote as long as in the state, or live in another state, claim residency in another state. But if you don't vote in that, as long as you don't vote in that other state, you can still vote in Alaska, which is wrong. That should be taken off the books, but that's another show. So through people would like, instead of voting for Kelly Chewbacca because she was Trump endorsed, God forbid, these other rhinos here in the state voted Murkowski and then voted Begich and Chesbro. So when the count went down, when Chesbro and Begich got eliminated, then what happened, Chesbro, yeah. Anyway, so when they got eliminated, their votes went to Murkowski. So Murkowski essentially won the election, not through her conservative, not through the conservative or Republican constituents, but she won it with the Democrats. And it was the Democrats, because they saw right through it. And they're like, yep, yep. You know, Murkowski, she wants that welfare state. She is so deep in
There's
it.
There's a Democrat plan, absolutely.
Exactly, exactly. And she's been groomed for this. She's a senior Senate member. She's on all kinds of committees and stuff. And, you know, the last few years, And coming out, you know, it kind of came out with the COVID money and infrastructure and this and that. Well, the last few years, you know, they've brought all these grants to Alaska to bring broadband and internet and to some of the other programs that she pushed were to recognize tribes and give them more land and more benefits and this and that. So she's just pandering to the native population, essentially, big time. And then pandering to the other people, the people in desperation, the people that she's been promising for years to bring broadband and better technology to Alaska. I mean, yeah, okay, we do live out in the middle of nowhere. We live here for a reason. But we do have those needs. We live in a digital world, sadly. And it's something that we need to have here to keep in pace with the rest of the world. And I think mostly our children, when I think of that, and educational and, you know, online courses and whatnot, working from home, having better career opportunities, having medical care via video in remote areas that may save somebody's life when a doctor can't fly into a village or something. You know, the continuity of medical care. But, you know, it's been long coming and promised, but it wasn't brought to us until the last few years. The promises we start seeing, these grants roll through. And it might seem like a good thing. It's kind of like what we were talking about, Lorianne, a while back with the infrastructure bill and the EV stations, the EV charging stations that the government's going to put all over the country. And they're going to put them on in these remote areas. So you'll be driving down the highway and there'll be a you know, this glowing light and a charging EV station, you know. All right. Now, if they were in demand like that, private enterprise would already have taken care of that. How many government-owned gas stations do you see, you know, and stuff? But no, private enterprise is not doing that because it's not profitable. There's no money in it. There's nothing to be had from it. And this is a virtue signaling by this illegitimate administration of their promise to Klaus Schwab and Soros and the rest of the global elitists that they will suppress America and go on with this green agenda. Well, kind of the same thing's going on right now with the internet up here and the broadband, these grants. Okay. Now, the government is like, nobody else is doing this. We're going to do this. We're going to, you know, spend millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars to bring you broadband to just a few places, not all of Alaska, but just to a few places. And, well, while we're waiting for this broadband and these fiber optic cables and whatnot, guess what rolls out? Starlink, Elon Musk. He rolls out the Starlink. And it's quite interesting because if you, for example, we don't have cell phone service where I live. Up until Starlink, we didn't have reliable internet. In fact, I missed you all very much this summer. I took a hiatus this summer. And one of the reasons was because we did have internet, but it didn't have the oomph and it was so outdated. Satellites are so outdated. They have no, you know, power to it. So in rolls the Starlink. And I'm like, what's a Starlink? So I get the Starlink. And for full disclosure, anybody can look it up, you know, it's like a $600 system. So it's a satellite dish about the size of a laptop computer, and you get a router with it, and you plug it in, and it works. And it works amazingly. We were never able to stream, broadcast, you know, do Zoom or anything. Well, Lisa Murkowski, she's made all these promises and stuff, and right up to the election, and they're laying cable. They were laying cable right in front of my house off a ship. And, you know, I paid $600 for my system. Well, the government paid a whole lot more. So when you look at per household cost, Lorianne, this is going to blow you away. All right, for example, this grant to do broadband in up north in interior Alaska, in four communities got broadband for a total of 75 households at a cost of $404,000 per household. So private enterprise brought me amazing service for $600, but Murkowski, she spent $404,000 per household for a village of 75 people, 7-5, okay? For 270 households in the community of Yakutat, which is just north of me, it cost $70,000 per household. In my community, and on the island that I live, it's two communities that are served. So 1,741 households, and it's about $121,000 a household.
Wow. And then, of course, you don't get that for free. You know, so
we're paying for
it's
that.
It's costing taxpayers to lay all of this line that fewer and fewer people actually need at such a high cost, and then they're not even going to get it for free, then they still have to sign up for the service and pay for it. Again, twice. Double dipping.
And you know, we're looking at, you know, initially they told us it was going to be 2025 before the service was available. And then, of course, the election heats up, and I swear to God, there was a ship right out in front of my house laying cable right after that. And now they're saying spring of 2023. Well, this broadband, this fiber optic cable has more technology than just broadband. It will be bringing eventually 5G. And Lisa is in big cahoots with the cruise ship industry. She gets a lot of money from them in her campaigns, and I'm sure all kinds of things under the table because she's just that type of person. And, you know, these ships, these people get on these ships, and they are just, like, blown away that there's no cell phone service. And they're really put out because, you know, you go to the most beautiful place on earth on a cruise, and well, darn it, you want to be, you know, on your phone the whole time. But
I
think
I know. That's another thing wrong
with
society. We can't go anywhere unless there's cell phone service.
Yeah. So I feel like, you know, part of it was, you know, yeah, this technology needed to be brought in. But it goes to prove that government doesn't do it better. That America is built on business, independent businesses, innovation and determination, not on the backs of the taxpayers. And and this debt is so great that I won't pay it, you won't pay it, my grandchildren probably won't pay it. But it's not going away. Somebody's going to pay it. Somebody down the line later on, you know, decades from now, they'll be paying on this bill still.
Oh, and, you know, here's the thing, too. It's like not only is the initial startup money to lay all these lines and everything on the taxpayer dime, but then once you actually sign up for service, there's going to be an additional tax on that, too. So you get your bill, and just like everything else, you're going to have, you know, the service that you signed up for and blah, blah, blah. And then at the very end of your bill, other charges is going to be some other tax that you're paying for the service. Tax, you know, so it's a double tax.
Exactly.
So everybody that signs up for it is going to pay an additional tax, even though all the taxpayers already paid taxes to lay all the lines and do the infrastructure to begin with. It's a pyramid scheme. And then, like you're saying with the Starlink, the price tag of like $600, makes kind of people go, kind of cringe at the start of it. But here's the thing. You own the equipment.
I own it.
It's not leased.
Yeah, I can go with it.
You got the travel
exactly.
model, so you can bring it with you. You can go on that
mm-hmm.
cruise and be in the middle of the ocean and get service. So it's the transportability. It is, you know, overall pretty affordable in the long run because, you know, if you're with Comcast like I am, just my internet service, of course I have the package, but to just have my internet service alone would probably be at least $60 to $70 for the package that I have per month. And I don't, you know, and I'm paying the additional, you know, $9.95 or whatever for the modem. So I don't own that equipment. I don't own the DVR. I don't own anything I'm paying for with Comcast. So you have to kind of keep that in mind as well. You own that little router. You own the dish. You pay for it, and then it's done. You know, and that's the beauty of it, I think. And like you said, you were talking about going on a cruise ship and not having, you know, you don't have cell service in the middle of nowhere in the ocean, right? But you do with the Starlink. You're not dead in the water, pun intended, on a cruise.
Exactly.
Anyway.
You know, but it just goes to show, too, that bigger government is not better. And gifts from the government are not really gifts. They're just, it's a form of bondage. And, you know, there was this article I was reading, and I'm going to read this quote, and it was the gal in the article, she says, it's still unclear whether the hundreds of millions of dollars of federal funds was like offering transistor radios to people who had moved on to smartphones. But the federal money came to Alaska, and now many communities will have a belt and suspender solution to the internet connectivity. And it's so true. I couldn't wait. I didn't want to stay on hiatus forever. This came along. And I've been really happy with my decision with the Starlink. But it just goes, you know, $600 to bring connectivity to my house opposed to, you know, $121,000 or something was the quote, or worse yet, $404,000 per home $404,000 for 75 homes. That was each home, not $404,000 for the 75, but $404,000 for 75 different homes. That blew me away. When I started reading these, it blown away. And it, like I said, it all came to heat right before the election, right before the Alaska Native Conference, which is huge, which, you know, Lisa was there. Right there with Mary Petola, the woman that beat Palin in this scam, you know, of a session. So this was, it was pretty interesting, you know. Yeah, so that's kind of what we have to say on the elections here. And you know, I could beat up this topic forever.
I know, and I will say it
forever.
Again, it was so weird because when it was like, I was watching, you know, the Alaska votes. I actually still have the tab open of the election results. And, you know, I had been watching the Senate race. And all along, up until it got to be around 80-85% total reporting, Kelly Tabaka was in the lead. And so something happened, you know, like something happened in that. That last reporting, that total, that flipped this. And so Murkowski won at 53.7%, Tabaka 46.3%. And you think that that's kind of a big difference, you know, percentage-wise, but really what that means is that was 18,000. So Murkowski supposedly won by 135,972. Tabaka 117,299, and so that's roughly around, you know, 18,000 votes. That's not that much, and so with this ranked type vote,
so what happened?
Ranked choice voting, yeah, like that's like this is the weird ass anomaly that happened. Suddenly there, you know, suddenly it pulls out again, you know, this time for a rhino, but she's obviously a Democrat in disguise. You know, she's the Trojan horse
Let me point out, Lorianne. Yeah, but what we point out at the end when we were like at 82%, then that things are leveling off and Kelly Tabaka was ahead. And then once they started counting, you know, the fourth place winner, I'd probably say was the Democrat, you know, Chesbro or it was independent named Kelly. Last name was Kelly. And he actually got out of the race. Name was not supposed to be on that ballot. So there would have only been three. So once he got eliminated.
Oh, so more fraud.
So anybody.
So he shouldn't have been on the ballot.
So, yeah,
people that
so
voted
happened,
for him. Then, of course, that went to Lisa. Okay. Yeah, oh, I see that.
Exactly.
I see the corruption there.
So, all right. Yes. Yeah, so what happened was anybody that voted for him and then voted second for Lisa got his. So everybody that voted for him first and Lisa second got his votes, and then on and on and on. So and people, because Trump and I'm not saying because Trump endorsed Kelly Tabaka that she lost, but a lot of people didn't like that. But let's keep this in mind too. The Alaska Party Republican Party did not endorse Murkowski. They endorsed Kelly Tabaka, and things started looking really nasty for Murkowski. So what's Bitch McConnell do? Bitch McConnell goes and does a multi-million dollar smear campaign on the Tabaka campaign. Who the hell does that except for another rhino? And I mean, this is embarrassing. This is an embarrassment to Alaskan values. It's an embarrassment to our voting system. Granted, Alaska voters did vote for ranked choice voting, but it was buried in another ballot, and it was very ambiguous, and the language was difficult to discern. Choice voting itself, I think a lot of people
didn't
vote.
Yeah, they made it perfectly so complicated that the average voter is not going to understand what the hell voting for, and that's what they banked on.
Exactly, what happened? Yep. Yeah, and that's what happened here in Alaska. So Yep, I have many years of Lisa Murkowski ahead of me, and I'm going to do everything I can to buck this administration. I'm going to buck up against everything that she does, and I'll make sure that I am actively involved in my local Republican Party, as always, as well as on an activist level, because what she did was wrong. And she is the one who brought this ranked choice voting to the table and pushed this and wrote the bills and whatnot and so forth. So her agenda is not for Alaska, and her agenda is unquestionable, or questionable whether it's even for America. So,
you know,
yikes. With that said, I really wanted to segue,
you know, and I
off
get to look forward here in Oregon. I will just say this before we segue off into something else, but here in Oregon, I have Tina Kotek to look forward to as our next guest.
I love it. Not love it, but the name.
Maxi Pad is going to be the governor of Oregon. How fucking wonderful. Sorry to swear, but, you know, that's how I feel about it. So, I mean, I feel your pain, but in a slightly different way. Oh, it's going to be a bad, bad 4 years. She better be a one-termer. I just don't know how Oregon's going to recover, but. That's all I'll say about
well,
it.
Well, you know, just like we've talked about, we tell our listeners too, it starts at home in your community and outreach and uniting people. And, you know, activism has a bad, it's got a bad ring to it, you know, kind of a bad cantonation these days, but there is a positive form of activism, and it doesn't include having to burn buildings down or cop cars or anything, but just gathering and talking with your neighbors about, you know, about local issues and then statewide issues and telling them, hey, you know, there's a vote, or hey, you know, and watch for local events in your area too. You know all the pointers, but I'm telling the listeners, you know all this stuff. But I had sent you a article. There were a couple ones I had sent to you, and one was an opinion piece on Biden and his dictatorship. And just here, you know, and it's not even a subtle dictatorship. I mean, this is like a lurch and leap dictatorship. And you know, this started with his, you know, this is going to be the winter of death, wah, ha, 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 and of the unvaccinated, and they're killing their neighbors, and they, you know, and all that crap. We got that last year, you know, about this time of year, we got that, you know, and he mandated, well, here, just on Thanksgiving, he was doing the winter of death, but this time, instead of, you know, coming for your arm with a needle, he's coming for your guns, folks. Semi-automatics. He wants every semi-automatic off the street.
Oh, yeah. I think I uploaded a recent Coley and Lenoir comment on his thing, clip on that. Yeah, I mean, he is all about it. And you know why? I mean, like, he wants to really push this through because he knows it's failing. And so the faster they can push something through, the better, where Democrats still have their hold, you know, and the anti-gun lobby still has their hold. They can push this stuff through.
Yeah.
And it's
so,
not
you
just
know,
AR-15.
You know, and it's,
we cannot, it's no longer, his verbiage has changed. You know, it's changed from, I'm going to take your AR-15s. Now he says assault weapons. And assault weapons includes handguns, semi-automatic handguns that hold more than 8 rounds. That's his goal. He will consider a handgun, a semi-automatic handgun that holds any more than 8 rounds as an assault weapon, okay? So don't let it fool you. It's not the same as AR-15. They are after your handguns too. they want it so that, you know, the only legitimate thing a citizen can get is maybe a six-shooter revolver before they even attack that. Then they'll probably be like, oh, those rounds are too big. You know, you can only have a revolver that shoots, you know, these smaller rounds, not bigger rounds, because they're weapons of death and they're weapons, assault weapons, too.
Yeah, you know, and it's just, it's important to remember that, you know, this administration's actions are rooted in coercive power. And it is such that it's a crucial for the federal government to act within the bounds of the Constitution and in a precise and careful fashion. Otherwise, you know, they're lurching right into tyranny. And it's interesting because, you know, what he's talking about is not within his grasp to do. He does not have the power to do this, just like he does not have the power to give student debt relief or to the Marriage Act, which they're pushing hard for. The marriage and a lot of the Marriage Act has to do with gay marriage. Most states, in fact, all states in the union have gay marriage statutes. Each state has made their own rules for gay marriage, and they recognize relationships that were consummated in a different state. That's not a question, but Biden wants to federalize it. You know, and these are things that are state issues. These are not federal issues. He has, and this is where I'm saying, he has lurched right into tyranny. He doesn't have the right to impose or, you know, infringe on our Constitution. No president has that right. Our forefathers made sure of that by writing that document, the U.S. Constitution. We're not a democracy. We're a republic. We're a constitutional republic. And only an act of God or an insane person would, any judge, it's just not going to change. But the verbiage he uses and the power, and it's terrifying, the ignorance of the people that believe that he has the power to do this. Look at Twitter. Look at these leftist crybabies on Twitter and Facebook and these other social media sites. You know, guns kill, guns kill. Oh, my body, my choice. I want to get an abortion tomorrow, and then I'm going to have one the next day too. Kill. I mean,
abortion doesn't kill.
Messaging.
You know, not the violence.
I mean, guns don't kill.
That's
crazy.
The violence in the
violent
city.
Violent people kill.
Yeah, you know, it's not all the violence
right,
in the city. Take guns out of it, and you got baseball bats, you got hand-to-hand fights, you got, you know, all kinds of various violent crimes that kill people besides guns, and they're deflecting away from the increase of that. Wasn't there just like a big stabbing or something? And, you know, I mean, we're seeing more and more of that. You know, so yeah, okay, you're making it harder for normal people to get, you know, civilians to get a gun, but they're going to have other means to do it, you know. And I take the example in Norway that happened a couple of years back where it was a mass shooter using a crossbow. And that's silent.
Yep.
You know, how many arrows can you shoot from a crossbow that's totally silent and kill people before people even become aware of what's going on? You know, it's you know, and that happened. So a mass killing using a bow and arrow. I mean, it's just, you know, it, and I got to say it, and I'll say it again, the whole reason why the United States could not lock down what the severity that we saw in so many other countries, Australia, New Zealand, China, all across Europe, the only reason why those severe of lockdowns and quarantines did not happen here to the same extent is because we have our guns. Nobody wanted
exactly
to be met with you know, at least minimum 50 to 60% of households being armed.
Yeah,
really,
and you know,
simple.
You look at our going back to the Constitution, you know, the mechanisms of our Constitution lay out, you know, one sacred duty of the federal government, and that's to protect each of our natural rights. And, you know, our forefathers, the framers, intended this to ensure that the government could not interfere with civil society. And we are a civil society because guns make people polite. I say that all the time, you know. And also the goal of the Constitution, it was in the Second Amendment, was to ensure protection of the rights. And, you know, and also the other part of the Constitution was to ensure that the government didn't invade into our personal lives, you know, with their whims and their coercion. And they demonstrate that they can do that when they talk about the Marriage Act, you know. It's a law. It's already been written in. That's people's personal life. That's their family business, you know. And we've seen the government, you know, attack the FBI attacking, you know, parents that didn't agree with their local school boards. Or didn't want to mask their kids, or, you know, that kind of stuff. So Biden is really, 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 really lurching into the tyranny. I mean, like, he's already there, which is fully expected. I mean, if this was an elected president, I'd be shocked. But this sham, this illegitimate administration, this embarrassment, this goes to show, Lorianne, how civil we are. Because people say January 6th was an insurrection. Shit, you ain't seen nothing yet. Seriously.
I mean,
you know,
one
more lockdown. We were one lockdown away from
that. Patriots to that point where, but, you know, I got to say to patriots out there, please, please, please do not succumb to any kind of violence. You know, now is not the time. We have to get a convention of states.
No, never is the time.
We, you know,
yes.
Getting a convention of states together, only with state legislators getting together and reeling in our federal government, because what you're talking to is another mass brainwashing program that our government, that our federal government is, and that is convincing everybody that they are the overlords, the federal ultimate power. The psychological mind ops that has been going on for decades, and it's absolutely the reverse. A convention of states can override any and all authority that has been given to the federal government. Only that. Because people need to start thinking about our U.S. Constitution is not an overruling document over everything. You know, they don't have the federal government does not have authority over everything. What that document is an agreement between all 50 states to create and limit and define a federal government that handles very specific and very limited responsibilities on a national level. The rest of it is
exactly
the your
it's an administration.
Constitution.
That's why
has
it's called
more
an administration
than the federal constitution, if you want to think about it that way. all of our state constitutions basically comply with the template of the U.S. Constitution, because that's what it is. It's a contract between all 50 states. All 50 states say, okay, we will agree to this bare minimum. You know, we all agree on this, on this, on this most basic, you know, it's like the, you know, the, just the most basic that we all agree on. And every state, their constitution is customized to their state. And their state constitution has more authority. Because why? The state sheriff and the local law enforcement are the ones that take the oath to uphold the state constitution. That's mm-hmm. the oath that they take. Your sheriff takes the oath to protect and defend the constitution of your state. So if you have a tyrannical federal government that changes or amends the federal constitution, your county sheriff has the authority, your state governor has the authority to go, we do not have to comply. This violates our state constitution. This violates our law, and we are not going to comply with it. And so that's where the Convention of States is so important, and that effort is underway because, you know, and like I said, I started out saying, you know, don't resort to violence. I know, I mean, we are protected by our gun rights. We are, you know, thank God for that. That's why the COVID, you know, let's go door to door and survey people and offer them the COVID jab door to door. It's like rah, rah, rah. You remember that, but that didn't turn out so well because the people that were going to have to go door to door fully knew that, you know, one out of every two homes were probably going to be armed and they would not be welcomed. You know? Or one out of three. It was too high. That's why the lockdowns and stuff weren't so severe here. So all I'm saying is that people need a mind shift when it comes to thinking about our federal U.S. Constitution, which is the blanket one that all 50 states contract and lay out. And so Convention of States is really the answer, because the states truly have power over the federal government, and the states fully have the power to take back any authority they've ever given the federal government, and that means a complete and total overhaul. We can go back to a very limited, very restricted federal government if we choose to, state by state. So elect the people that support a Convention of States.
Yes, I agree. And, you know, I'd like to remind people, too, you know, the role of the federal government is a administrative role. We pay a special tax to them to think of it as like hiring a bookkeeper and a secretary and an event planner. They have a administrative role, not a ruling role. This is not a dictatorship. It is not, you know, a monarchy. It is a constitutional republic. And when we made this agreement with all 50 states to be a part of this, that was the agreement. Government wasn't supposed to get this big. And you know who keeps making it bigger? You, the people, because I know Lori Ann and I are not doing it. I'm like down with big government, anything, you know. And you know, Lorianne, we're just at about to the end of the show, guys. We've got like 5 minutes left, and you know, this just leaves fodder
for next
week.
Well, it's a live broadcast, but we can go into overtime. The live broadcast ends.
Yes,
but
I'm on a time constraint, so I cannot tonight, but. Lorianne, we have some time left, and I'd like to hear about Sunday's show.
So tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne show here on Blog Talk Sunday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific time, 9 to midnight Eastern time. And Dahl will be kicking back in the co-host chair. We reverse roles a little bit. And lots to talk about still. You know, we can, you know, whatever's in the news, whatever transpires, I have a few things that I want to touch on. But I encourage everybody out there to feel free to call in and tune in and participate in the show on Sunday night as well. And Dahl and I will team up once again. We're a force to be reckoned with here in Blog Talk Radio land.
Most certainly. Yep, I will definitely be there. Definitely be there. Yeah, so this is a great show. Covered a lot. 2 hours.
I know, and I want to go more. It's like, wow, there's only 4 minutes left. And
I know,
though. But like,
I know.
I was joking with you that I'm like, you know, keep checking in with me during that storm because, you know, you had posted a video and the rain coming down so hard. I'm like, it sounds like you have a whole percussion of drums surrounding your house, you know. And I was joking with you about, you know, hopefully you don't get picked up and blown away and taken to Oz, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, we did have a typhoon blow through. And, you know, here in Alaska, we don't give them names. We just call it Tuesday or Wednesday or Tuesday and Wednesday. And or Thursday, whatever day it falls on. But yeah, we really got hit hard, and everything was okay. No, you know, no damage or anything. We had plenty, you know, we've got weather forecasts, so we knew it was coming. So I made sure I went and picked up all the, you know, stuff that, you know, that I might have left laying out in the yard or on the project. But yeah, I walked around, there were no shingles in the yard. So I was real happy. But, yeah, we didn't have any damage here in my little village town that I live in. So we were good. And then we had the astronomical tides, the king tides. Everybody had them in the Pacific Ocean. But, yeah, we had 20-foot tides, which is pretty much on my lawn. So that was pretty interesting when it was blowing 80. but, yeah, there was so much rain, Lorianne. Like so much rain. It was like being in a car wash. It was pretty cool.
Like what kind of gutters do you have? I mean, like, are your gutters like 12 feet wide or something to handle all that water that comes down?
No, because of the snow loads. We only have like gutters going over like the doorways and stuff, so the rain doesn't get on you. So when the snow pulls it off the roof pulls it off the soffit, it's like not too hard to replace. But yeah, for the most part, unless you do rain catchment water drinking water, then you usually don't have gutters in my area because the snow would just pull them right off every year and you just have a twisted pile of. So yeah, so we just got the warning buzzer from Blog Talk Radio. But you can join Lorianne and I Sunday night on the Lucid Libertarian Show. Lorianne is hosting, of course. And that is right here at Blog Talk Radio, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific. And then I will be co-hosting. And then come back next Friday night, same place, same time. And we'll have a great show lined up for you. And now that I'm getting settled back in, we'll start scheduling some guests again. And for everybody that called in.
I haven't been booking a whole lot of guests either lately. But, yeah. And it would be nice to get some guests on, maybe even Dave Champion. Because
definitely.
We said way back when we'd like to have him call into your show. Yeah, Ian coming back would be a good thing, too. Yeah.
Yeah, and I see Donnie and Cinnamon have their hand up. But like I said, unfortunately tonight, guys, I am on a limited time constraint, and I have to work real early in the morning. So we are going to sign off in just a second. And thank you for calling
Cinnamon,
in
Donnie,
and listening.
Thank you so much for calling in. If we were up for, overtime, you know me, which I wonder if you hang up and you just don't end the episode, we probably could continue. I probably could with them. We could do an experiment.
Not without me.
Should be part of the show recording.
I know. I'm not That's here true. To make sure you guys are behaving yourself.
I know, right? We could totally
All right,
ruin your whole show. We'll spend an hour just talking
about
you.
Why am I being such a wet blanket? All right. I'm not going to be such a wet blanket. It is Friday night. All right, but we have to behave ourselves because this
I'm
is part of the recording.
I'm not pressuring you, though. I know you're tired. You've had so much going on.
No,
you have to
we're
keep
good.
Your house afloat
so,
during a freaking typhoon. Happy Thanksgiving,
yeah.
Typhoon,
so I got
everyone,
Cinnamon and
you know?
Donnie. I brought them on. Yep.
Well,
so
I just
gonna,
wanted to say you guys had a good show.
Well, no, we're going to go
all.
Into overtime a bit here. Oh, sweetheart, how's the baby?
The little Otis?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's hanging in there. Don spent Thanksgiving here with him, and I went over to my mom's. Just one of those things.
Oh, sounds
but
like fun.
I just want to tell you guys had a good show.
Well, thank you.
I didn't
yeah,
wanna,
it was a fashion.
I didn't
want to
break in, you guys.
No. We brought you in. We joined the conversation.
Well, you guys were getting ready to go. I understand you have to get up in the morning. That's fine. I just wanted to pipe in with the good show and see you guys Sunday.
Oh, thank you. Well, I know
yeah,
Lori
you guys
Anne
ended
to do
your
a
show
bit
beyond the mainstream tonight
yeah.
early so that you
yeah,
could
how was
tune
your
in
show
for
tonight?
The show tonight.
It was okay. We got kicked off right at first, shut Don down and then hung up on me. When we got back on and we were going okay. Just kind of moving right along. So some stuff we didn't talk about tonight, we'll talk about tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, what did you guys talk about tonight? What was happening on your show?
It was.
You guys were talking
much,
a lot about the drag shows with kids subject tonight.
Oh, yep. That whole situation is making me kind of nuts. Because, like, there was an article in the Canadian news about one of the local libraries was doing the family-friendly drag queens were reading to kids. And that was what my idea of drag queens reading to kids should be. You know, she came dressed as a woman, and, you know, you could tell she was a drag queen, so she was glamorized a bit. But she came with the puppet, and she came in kid-friendly outfit. You know, she had on a dress, but it was a longer dress, went to, like, her mid-calves. And the two books that she read, the one was It's Okay to Be Different and didn't, you know, and the other one was A Kid and His Uncle went to save a puppy, but the uncle was leaving. The kid and the uncle were leaving a pride parade, and the uncle was in drag, and the uncle was worried about the other people that normally see him dressed as a man. We're going to see him dressed as a woman and what they would think. And it was another be who you want to be moment kind of thing. And there was no sexualization on any of it. They were just talking about this is who this person is and who this person likes. This is what this person likes. And on the first book, it was like, if you like eating your macaroni and cheese while you sit in the bathtub, eat your macaroni and cheese in the bathtub. You know, just kid-related.
Well, yeah, you know,
and
yeah.
That's the kind
I mean,
of stuff that,
I don't think any of us really object to anything like that, you know, but...
No, and that's what I was saying in the United States.
You saw that ad
they
with
always,
the stuffed animals wearing BDSM gear and a purse and stuff with these two
yeah.
little girls in this ad,
yeah.
and it's like, really, like, you know, that's the kind of drag queen stuff that we're talking about now. It's not anything like it was as we remember, where it's like, yeah, you know, they're, you know, even like, you know, dressing up like, you know, Dolly Parton and that kind of thing, you know, but, you know, reading age-appropriate books that aren't sexualized, you know, when they're dressed, you know, decently, not, you know, basically squeaking in front of a five-year-old's face. I mean, you know, like, that's the difference we're talking about, you know.
You can teach kids about other people being gay or other people wanting to, you know, because there are people that like to dress and drag that aren't gay. I mean, it's all walks of life. You don't have to, stop bringing sex part into it. Identity and gender, you can teach. Anything sexual after that, don't teach them that until they're old enough to learn that. And we were talking about the way kids grow up. I'm sure you guys probably look back on some of the stuff you did as a kid and go, oh, my God. And I made the example of the new grandbaby. At 6 months old, grandma bought him a fireman's costume for Halloween. And so that was it. He knew he was going to be a fireman no matter what because he liked the costume so much. Nobody's going to hold some kid feet to the fire. You've got to be a fireman because I remember putting that outfit on you. Let kids experiment and figure out who they want to be. You know, generally once we get to our mid-20s, we're pretty much set, even as slow growers. Other ones are, you know exactly what they want to do at 19 and are focused. Stop. They just need to stop pushing.
Yeah, it's like my 15-year-old son. You know, he's growing his hair out, and he had ran across a picture of his dad when his dad was young, and his dad had a, you know, bright red, bushy hair, and it was all long and stuff, and my son, he looks up to his dad a lot, and he's like, well, that looks pretty cool, and I go, yeah, that was 1960s, you know, it was a different time, and he's like, well, then he starts growing his hair out. And I said something about it, and I said, you know what? The more I harp on him about it, the longer it's going to get. So I'll just let him, like, I'll make no big deal out of his, I call it the sad clown look, because he's got bright red hair, and just deal with it. I'm just dealing with it. And I look at him, and I'm just like, I love you with all my heart, but you're just cringy, man. And it's just getting long, you know, it's really curly, and I'm just like, where are you going with this? But I quit, because he'll come to the realization on his own. I've learned that with my other kids, too. You know, he's the youngest, but it's maddening. You know, but that's an example,
yeah.
and like the sexualization and stuff that needs to stay out, and the CRT. What's really disturbing to me, Cinnamon, is that you have a agenda that's underlying all this. They're normalizing it, and we're saying, yeah, you know, kids are kids, and they come to their own realization, but this is like deep seated in this indoctrination these kids are experiencing. And what, you know, you've got a normal, healthy teenager, you know, that's not a profitable thing. But when you have a confused child that's being sexualized and groomed to thinking, you know, that maybe they're not normal if they just want to be their normal sex, you know, what they're born with, that there's something wrong with that now. Well, they've convinced enough kids now that there's something wrong with just being who you are. And it's a $1 billion industry. I mean,
I know.
You convince a kid they are worth millions of dollars to the pharmaceutical companies and everybody else and all these social justice, you know, all of it, anybody that can get their hands into it.
My biggest thing is a kid cannot get a tattoo. At a certain age, like say your 10-year-old wants to go get a tattoo and you take him to the tattoo parlor and say, okay, no, they will, there's an actual lady that is getting her kids taken away from her, and they're pursuing child abuse charges because she let her kid get a tattoo.
I remember that. I read that article. Yeah.
But it's going to be okay to
you could take
mutilate their body.
Exactly. Yeah, so on the after we go through McGMO's drive-through, we'll just take you go get those breasts removed if you want. Or, well, you know, you got good grades, so I guess we'll let you get your penis chopped off. You know, or if the parents even consent to it. I mean, you know, look at these parents that are like, I don't consent, and they're criminalized. And then they have to pay the medical bills to boot. Isn't that a double kick in the jaw?
They need to, and I'm going back to when I was a kid, because there was a gay couple that lived down the street from us, and they had moved in. It was in one of the rental properties. And this, when I was living in this neighborhood, it was up until second grade. So 7 years old. I don't know where, if I was, you know, the four, five, six, or seven when it happened. But they just said that, you know, they love each other like your dad and I love each other. And they just left it at that. You don't have to go into the bedroom thing. Nobody's, if the government turned around and told you that you have to tell your kids how you and your wife have sex, you'd be freaking out. You don't
exactly
share that stuff with their kids until, you know, until kids get into the age where it's appropriate for them to learn about sex. But when they're young, no. They're prepubescent, no. Don't tell them that stuff. They don't need to know. They're gonna
yeah,
learn
they
it.
Have enough
they'll probably
to
learn
worry
it
about
a lot quicker because of the internet. Then we want to, but we don't need to be shoving it down their throat when they're in preschool and fifth grade. There's enough for kids to worry about. Let them be kids.
Yes, and I think that is something that should be taught at home. Now, I'm not saying science and biology and human anatomy and the function of, you know, I remember what they called sex education when I went to school. It talked about menstruation, sperm, pregnancy. You know, you add sperm, you add egg, and a really bad date at the movie theater, and you could get pregnant. You know, and that's all
I
need
just,
to know is the biology of it.
Could I inject just a second? Because you just
yeah
reminded me of the movie Grease 2. Remember, that was Michelle Pfeiffer's big break, Grease 2. And they have a song on there, reproduction, reproduction, baby, give it to me now. Reproduction, reproduction. You probably don't even know what a pistol is. I'm just picturing that scene in Grease too, when we're talking about health class.
I never did see that movie.
I never did either.
Oh, my God.
No.
You've got to do it just to see. I mean, it's not the greatest, but it does have a couple of songs that always stick. Michelle Pfeiffer, like I said, this was like her big break. You know, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, Grease 2 is Michelle Pfeiffer's big break. And, yeah, it's stupid, but some of the songs, and it is like, it is so stupid, it's funny. It's one of those things. You got to put yourself in that mindset where I'm like, I am going to watch really super stupid done actually surprisingly well. When you watch Grease 2. It's a mindset you got to be in.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. You know, like I said,
yeah,
it's kind of funny to watch Michelle Pfeiffer being so young and that was her role. She does cool rider, a cool
all right, rider. Back to topic. So anyway, ideology is killing
back to
America.
Topic.
It's just, yeah, no, but seriously, it is. This ideology is killing America. It's not just an endemic here. It's worldwide. And it's become such an endemic that they're calling it an endemic.
Yeah,
with this gender ideology and dysmorphia twist, you know, there's and then that's also what's really when these these kids declare themselves pansexual. How can you be in the third grade and know who you want to have sex with? I think social services needs to check out the relationships in the household. If a child is, like, already declaring who they want to have sex with.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That to me is alarming. And I'm not just being like clickbait. Ah, no, that is sick. And these children shouldn't know this terminology. It should not, like you said earlier, Cinnamon, it shouldn't be on their radar or their concern. Their concern is being children. And sexual partner preference is not a gender. It's a sexual partner preference. And there's no place for that in polite society or civil society. It's something, like you said earlier, you need, it's something that you talk about at home. But children shouldn't even be like concerning themselves.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, they love each other like mom and dad love each other.
Yeah,
or you know,
yeah,
and,
no
and leave it at that.
Absolutely.
You don't have to go into how they love each other. Just leave it at that.
Yeah, I always had the aunt. Well, I had an aunt with a roommate. That was the story they went with. And all of us kids knew.
Yeah.
I mean, we all knew. I was like, they both have really good jobs. Why is there only one bedroom? You know, I mean, why does she need a roommate? You know, I mean, who would share a room? You know, I was young. I didn't want to share a room with anybody. But, yeah, I mean, come on. So, but that, and I have absolutely nothing wrong with what a consenting adult wants to do with their body. You know, that's with that in that, or their relationship. Or anything like that. I have lots of gay friends, lesbian friends, and you know, they're living adult relationships, and they're of their concern. They're my friends, but they, you know, I don't talk about my marital relations with them, and they don't discuss theirs with me. It's in polite society, it's civil society.
Yeah,
but yeah. And it is too.
You mean
you don't
really get together with the other wives and like talk about comparative sizes
of
their husbands and like what positions
no,
they
I
like
don't.
It in or the freaky
no,
things
no,
that
no,
they
Florian.
Like. You don't talk about that
no,
stuff.
No, Florian.
Well, that's no fun.
That's no, Florian.
Sorry,
that's not
just
okay.
had to say.
But anyway, so
yeah, and I went in a little
yeah,
bit into why we're having why this started off to begin with was you know the hormones that cows are given they're given extra estrogen to keep producing milk without having to have another cow because their body at some point decides that was enough milk to give off for that baby.
Yeah,
and
they
so,
give estrogen to prolong the lactation period that they'll produce milk. Yeah.
And so there's extra estrogen in our milk. The BPA in the plastics that it is a hormone disruptor. And I think it also adds to estrogen release. And so we've had these problems before. We've been talking about this like 10 years ago, where this stuff was starting to ramp up. And so I think they've been pushing us towards this kind of thing. And so instead of stopping and looking around and going, okay, what's going on here? What do we need to stop? Because they stopped the whole BPA thing. They haven't stopped it completely, but, you know, you got everybody on your water bottles are saying BPA free, or you get reusable plastic ones. And they're saying the same thing.
Yeah, but look at all the BPA that's in the look at all the BPA in the microplastics in our environment that are in our drinking water, that are in our food, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry to interrupt, but
No, that,
so
that,
I mean, like,
that
they,
was perfectly
they,
fine because
they eliminated it.
Kind of throwing the baby out with the bathwater right now because they're finding the microplastics in, I think it's Antarctica. I don't think it's in the Arctic. I think it's Antarctic. In the snow. I mean, it's contaminated the whole world. So it's, so there's a reason for the disruption, and there's no, again, just let kids be kids. They'll figure it out. If they still have that same idea at 19 years old, that's when you start doing stuff.
Exactly. And that's why, you know what, there's probably a lot of 12-year-olds that think they really want a tattoo and they've got this, but let them think about it, like you said, until they're older. You know, just like anything else, let it simmer. Let it simmer. And when
you
you're an adult.
You have to be completely grown before you make a decision.
Yes, and you know, it's so ironic, too, because, you know, the left, and you're seeing this coming from a group of with certain ideology, and that is this depopulation agenda group, the One World Order, and the leftists, and the Marxists, and the socialists, you know, just all these bad people that have been doing all these horrible things. And they, this is just as good as abortion to them. You get all these young, healthy, you know, potentially reproductive human beings changing their, you know, trying to change their biology. They're just altering their biology. They're not changing anything. They're altering it. And that you have that many less people having babies. So between the jab and convincing all of our kids that they're not their, you know, biological sex and messing with them with pharmaceuticals, the BPAs, the 40% reduction in sperm in men in the last 40 years, that's a crisis.
Anytime they're throwing out red herrings on this, I'm always wondering what are they doing in the background?
Exactly.
There's something. I'm trolling around for it. I haven't found it yet, but there's something going on.
Yeah, it's called depopulation.
It's
scary.
You just had me think of something, if you don't mind me. It's almost like the generation of kids that were diagnosed with ADHD and drugged up are now grown, and now they're having kids, and then now we're dealing with the dysfunction of those kids as a result of the medications, and then now they're being, you know, medicated and now shot with, yes, get your kid back, you know, and now we're dealing with that generation.
You know, and it's not by accident. You know, none of this is by accident. It's been in the makings for a long time. And, you know, it's something, it's like, and I know Cinnamon, you guys have talked about it, and Lori Ann and I have talked about it. We've talked about it on other shows. I mean, but for years we've been talking about this. And now people are saying, oh, crap, maybe something's going on. You know, no, it happened. Well, you're wondering what, if something's going on, it's already happened, folks.
Yeah, that was the other thing is they came out, we didn't talk about it, but that was going to be one of the things we were talking about, was they come out and stated that they're going to do a 5-year study on doing aerosol dimming of the sun. You know, anytime that they say that they're going to come out with a study, you know, if it's something that's controversial, they've already been doing the study.
Yes. And somebody's going to announce it on them.
I'm just saying Simpsons did it. That's what it sounds like, because China's already done it. they're open about it. They've done weather modification, and so they've done all kinds of experiments within their own territory. And what we're doing is just copying them. It's almost like a weather modification arms race.
Yep.
All right. Well, you know, like the underwater volcano, you know, outside of the Tongan Islands. I mean, that was not an underwater volcano that blew up. I believe it was, you know, it was some kind of direct energy weapon. And, you know, it didn't just create a hole in the floor. Even NASA said that there was no ash in the atmosphere. There's no way that was a volcano. Even an underwater volcano, when it erupts, it is so hot, and the rock and the gas and everything that comes up from the ocean floor is shot up into the atmosphere.
Yeah, sulfur gas is detectable when you fly over it at, you know, several thousand feet in the air.
But there was nothing. There was none of that. And a explosion that magnitude would have thrown up ash in the atmosphere for months, maybe even years. And another thing was, what's terrifying about that was that created a tsunami effect throughout the Pacific coastline of the United States and Alaska. One thing, and we remember, Lorianne, that day I had to evacuate up in Sitka. It was last winter when that volcano blew up. We had a tsunami evacuation, and we had about a 15-minute notice, and the sirens went off. And I live right on the water, and I was up in Sitka when it happened, and it wasn't a significant tsunami at all. So there was no, you know, but it was a good drill. But it's concerning.
I guess they were probably just erring on the side of caution, like it had potential to be worse than it was.
Exactly. Exactly. Just like, you know, the big bomb that went off in Hiroshima. They didn't just try a big bomb first. They tried a bunch of small ones. But if that was a small one, a test shot, I'd hate to see what a big shot is. And think about it, too. They ended within like a week. They ended the Afghanistan war. The quote unquote volcano blew up, and Ukraine happened like 2 days later.
Yeah.
I call it a fire
or
a warning shot.
And I also have to, you know, point out too that we have the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, which is the largest mountainous area in the entire world, is the Mid-Atlantic Ridge underneath the ocean, which has several active volcanoes and, you know, several volcanoes that have been, like, you know, dormant for 100 years or something. Those dormant volcanoes are prime for experimentation. If you want to...
Oh, yeah.
Trigger a volcano via direct weaponry, like you're talking about, or some other means.
Direct energy.
Those dormant ones along the Mid-Atlantic Ridge underneath the surface of the ocean, so far deep down, but also it is the biggest, most active area on the freaking globe. And imagine the impact of that. Like, if they trigger like a bigger than expected eruption. And that's actually what's warming the ocean temperatures, not our pollution, but their experimentation on triggering volcanic eruptions. And because they trigger more than they should have, that's what actually ends up warming up the oceans and screwing up the world, you know, not us driving our SUVs.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. All right, folks. Well, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. It's getting late, and we went into overtime a little bit, but It's a long day, but Cinnamon, thank you so much. Thank you. Give Donnie.
Sorry. Yeah, I know. I went on a little rant there, but.
I'll let him know. You made a good point, Lorianne. You made a great point. But yeah, so thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. You ladies have a great night.
Yes, it was lots of fun. Thanks so much, Cinnamon. Hopefully hear from you Sunday.
Yep. I'll be here.
Yep, we'll be there. All right, thank you. Good night. So, with that,
Love you, doll. Be safe. Take care.
Yeah. With that said, though, before we end the show, this is the end of the live already happened, but we're still in recording mode. So definitely join Lorianne, and I'll be there as the co-host Sunday night at on her show, The Lucid, and with Lorianne's show. And that's right here at Blog Talk Radio, 6 to 9 p.m. Sunday night. We'll be there, and Sir Cinnamon will call in, and maybe Donnie, and all the other great callers that she has, her regular callers. And then next Friday night, same place, same time, join us here at the Alaska Patriot Network. I really enjoy hearing from all of you, so always feel free to drop into the chat here or call into the show live, and we'd love to hear your thoughts and comments and suggestions. And Lorianne, thank you for joining me, as always.
You know, I love spending my Friday nights with you. It seems weird when you don't have a show, and I have to sit here on a Friday night and not be on. But I love you to death. You're the sweetest person in the world, so knowledgeable. You know my feelings for you, and so I look forward to Sunday night with you. And
yes, definitely. I will be there, 6 p.m. Pacific.
You know, so much stuff that we didn't even get to tonight, which is kind of awesome, because whatever we don't get to tonight, we can bring up during my show on Sunday night. So that's kind of an awesome little teamwork effort we have going on.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you so much, Lorianne. And we are signing off. So everybody that tuned in, thank you so much. It's such a privilege to be here with you on a Friday night. And if you miss the live broadcast, you can always pick it up through Blog Talk. Do we have the RSS feed set up yet for the Apple and iHeart?
Not yet. Because I want you to be active, because once I start submitting, it's going to go to your email, and you're going to have to confirm and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And I didn't want
to
inundate you with all of that crap. Like, yeah, we need to do an admin day. Yeah, I didn't want to bombard you like, yes, I know you're dealing with a typhoon, and I know that you're dealing with, like, putting insulation in your house, but on top of that, let's submit your show to like all of these different platforms and have you have to respond and confirm with the emails and stuff.
That's fine. I can handle that.
To your list.
No, we'll get those episodes back up on those platforms. I had them previously up there, but I changed networks. So anyway, so we'll get that administrative stuff taken care of.
But
anyway,
Blog Talk does.
Yes, they are on Blog Talk. And if you find
it's just a matter of taking ownership of your show on those platforms, but people can still find you there.
Yeah, and also, you know, if you find the show link in social media, you can click on that and listen to the broadcast again. So, everybody, like I said, thank you for tuning in, and so this is Alaska Patriot Network. And it's Friday night, and we're signing out. God bless.